Thank you all. Thank you, Linda. Thank you so much for inviting me to be here today. It's really a pleasure to see you all and to be part of your service this morning. It's probably one of the best opportunities and most peaceful opportunities that I've had to speak. So get ranks right up there. I want to acknowledge and thank Tom for acknowledging our long relationship. We won't do that math either. I think it was actually long before the city that we met back in the days when we were rabble-rousing together. He may not want you to know that he actually did that back in the day, but he did. And I also want to introduce one of my very good friends, Bea Barraza, who has introduced herself and is a board member of Environmental Health Coalition for more years than we can count. We're not doing that math either. None of us are doing math these days, right? And has been a supporter of our organization and for environmental justice in many, many ways. And I'm going to talk about some of her legacy and the legacy of the women in the community. Bea is really one of the foremost experts in the country on the promotoría, or the idea of women in the Latino community who are those trusted messengers who are able to convey information and protect their families and their communities. And she is a leader in that across the country, especially here in San Diego, and has really influenced our work. So thank you, Bea, for being with us. And Environmental Health Coalition, as you may know, is an environmental justice organization. I'm going to talk a lot about environmental justice today. We are a binational organization. We have an office in Colonia Chilpancingo in Tijuana, which is just about a mile from the U.S.-Mexico border in one of the most industrialized areas of Tijuana, very close to the largest maquiladora park in Tijuana. We work in the low-income communities of color that are impacted the most by toxic pollution, and we use what we would call a very grassroots model. We call it our social change for justice model, which incorporates community organizing, policy advocacy, and leadership development. And environmental justice's mantra is we speak for ourselves. So folks from the community are, we do our best to lift people up so that they can make their issues known and their demands known for how they want their communities to be. And we think that's really the essence of environmental justice. I'm going to be quoting Frederick Douglass this morning, who I'm sure many of you know is a foremost, was a foremost abolitionist, former slave, and quite an orator. One of my favorite quotes, which Bea actually had inscribed on a gift to me, many years ago, was, if there is no struggle, there is no progress. And power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did, and it never will. And I want to say that I had not heard the song, There's Something in the Rain, before. But if I had to think of a song that depicted the misuse of power and really a beautiful heart wrenching description of environmental racism, then I would say you got it totally right. I don't know who picked the song, but it's perfect. Environmental racism is actually defined as, and forgive me if I get a little wonky here for just a second, but I want us to take it in. There's an official definition: policies and activities of governments, corporations, educational institutions, or other large organizations with the power to influence many people that either intentionally or unintentionally result in people of color and low-income people being exposed to greater environmental hazards. So whether you mean to or not, if you have the power and you expose people to environmental hazards that shorten their life, that reduce their quality of life, that's environmental racism. And for a long time, we didn't recognize that. We have recognized racism in housing discrimination, in job discrimination, But we haven't recognized it when it came to how some of us are exposed to the environment and what that does to our life, our health, our quality of life, the length of our life. And all of those things mix in now to tell us that environment has a ton to do with how long we'll live. There's a saying that the California Endowment came up with, which is the length of your life is defined by your zip code. So think about it. You can go actually on their website and put your zip code in, and it'll give you the information about the length of years, the number of years that people in your zip code live. And I can tell you that it's quite different depending on what that is. So environmental racism is what we're struggling against. Environmental justice is what we're fighting for. And environmental justice, simply defined, is the right of all people to live, work, and play in a safe and healthy environment. And it seems so basic, but it's so important and something that I think we have to really remember that it's hard to get there. And we're not there yet for everyone. Environmental justice is really the struggle against racism and the struggle against poverty. It's a struggle to preserve and protect the environment and public health, which I think fits in very perfectly with your principles of the Unitarian Church, and the promotion of social unity and global sustainability. So I want to talk to you about environmental justice through the story of a woman that Bea and I know very well, and who really epitomizes the struggle for environmental justice. Her name is Maria Martinez, and she has been an environmental justice and environmental health coalition leader for over 15 years now. She lives in Bahia Logan, which is adjacent to polluting industries and to freeways, and these impacted her children's health. She joined the environmental health coalition in a fight to for cleaner air in her community when she found out that one of her sons had asthma. She graduated from our leadership development program, SALTA, which is the program that Bea helped to start. And she has literally put her body on the line, literally, when trucks were invading her street, heavy-duty diesel trucks that were coming to an illegal warehouse across the street from her home, and lining up all day long and idling while people were trying to live their lives, children were trying to get to school, ultimately, she was successful in shutting down that warehouse and enabling them to live in peace, at least on that block. She's been a frequent spokesperson for the community, and she served on the Environmental Health Coalition Board of Directors for 6 years. She's been knocking on doors in the community and talking to her neighbors about environmental justice and what they can do about it for many years, and she's expressed her positions and Environmental Health Coalition's positions through many election cycles. And as she did that, she was not eligible to vote. She went and talked to folks about the importance of those who could vote, to vote for justice, to vote for issues that were important, that would bring justice to the community, for candidates that would listen to her and to her neighbors. This year, it's different. This year, Maria has become a citizen, and in June, she will cast her first ballot as a citizen of the United States. So we are so thrilled and proud that she has achieved that now, and that she'll be able to join the ranks of, I know, many of you who will be voting in June and then again in November. So environmental justice is about human rights, and it's about having a healthy environment. And San Diego is a pretty beautiful place. I mean, look at us where we are right now. It's pretty gorgeous. But it's very different for some people who live in San Diego. Their experience of San Diego is quite different than what we're experiencing right now, or that many people experience all the time. And Bahia Logan is a community. How many of you know Bahia Logan, where it is? Many of you do. Just south of downtown San Diego. And between the 1920s and the 1950s, Mexican-Americans, African-Americans, Asian Americans came to that community because as immigrants, because they were, it was close to jobs. It was close to the railroad. It was close to the cannery and the bayfront. And there was affordable housing there. And if you could afford to actually buy a house, you could only do it in communities like Barrio Logan because of the covenants that restricted people of color from buying homes in other communities. So this was a sanctuary, really, a place where people could actually have a home and begin to raise their families. And people have done that for generations. The community was heavily residential and continued to be so as multifamily housing was built to house the workers that were working in the, as I said, the canneries, the rail yards. So what happened? World War II happened. And as a result, there was the Navy came in and the shipyards came in and the residential part of the community, the zoning that made it residential was either ignored or it was overturned. And so incompatible zoning became the rule of the day, which meant that auto body shops and chrome plating shops and other small polluters were able to tear down homes and build those industries right next to homes and schools. So here you are living in your home, and you're on a block now, not just with other homes, but with an auto body shop, chrome plating, with things that... with industries that are quite polluting and very harmful to your health. Junkyards were the rule of the day. There were many of those. And this disrespect for the community continued as Interstate 5 was built in 1963, and then again the Coronado Bay Bridge in 1969. So these things divided the community. And what was once Barrio Logan is now Barrio Logan and Logan Heights being on the north of I-5. So the community met these challenges with strength and persistence. Barrio Logan, as many of you know, it's getting lots of play now, is viewed as a cultural gem of the county as San Diego's original Mexican-American community. And it's been a landmark of the Chicano rights movement, especially with Chicano Park. So I think one of the reasons I was asked to be here today in this month of April is because it's Earth Day, Earth Month, right? And many of you probably know that Earth Day was started in 1970, actually on April 22nd. You might not know that something else was going on April 22nd, 1970. That was the day that the community gathered in what is now Chicano Park, to protest a promise broken by the city. They had built the Bay Bridge, the Coronado Bay Bridge, and promised that the community, and this is right over houses. I don't know how many of you have been there. This is not something that was desirable in the community. Built right over the community, destroyed homes, but they promised that they would build a park. And so when the kids saw, the students, high school students saw the bulldozers on the land that was to become the park, they said, oh, so you're building the park. And they said, no, we're not building a park. We're building a highway patrol substation. So the students went back to school. They went home. And by the end of the day, protesters were on the site, and they stayed 2 weeks, night and day, until the city, and there was negotiations going on with the city, until the city agreed that there would be a park, and they dedicated that land to what is now Chicano Park. And one of the original Chicano Park artists came and said, how about if we put murals on the pillars? And that's what came to be known as Chicano Park, which is now a National Historic Site. And is on the National Register of Historic Places. So out of the ashes came this amazing gift that we have. But it reminds me of another Frederick Douglass quote that says, those who profess to favor freedom and yet deprecate agitation are men who want crops without plowing up the ground. So it takes action, you know? They didn't ask nicely. They sat in. And just like the students are doing today, who are walking out of their high schools and demanding that their lives be saved And so I think it's a real tribute to Earth Day in Badia Logan was building a park, demanding a park. And it went right along with all the other principles of Earth Day. So the community is steeped in resistance and speaking truth to power, but the community still faces significant challenges. 96% people of color community, 78% of the residents are low income, 32% are linguistically isolated, and 42% of the population has less than a high school education. And it's very impacted by pollution. Residents are surrounded by air pollution sources. The bridge, lots of traffic, I-5, lots of traffic. The Port of San Diego has a terminal right there where we have over 1,000 trucks a week that are coming in and out of the port with heavy-duty diesel engines and ships that come in and spew their diesel particulate matter, which is a carcinogen and also causes asthma. And we know now, because we have tools at the state of California level that Badia Logan is one of the most impacted communities in the top 5% in the state of the most impacted communities for pollution. And it's number one in the county for overall pollution. And the rate of asthma hospitalizations is 3 times that of any other place in the county for children. So we know that this is a terrible situation and one that we're working to resolve, but I want to make sure that you know that this is not unique, that there are communities like this across the country. And in 1985, the United Church of Christ Commission on Racial Justice actually documented this in the first report that showed that race is a more important factor than anything else, including income, to find polluting industries and hazardous waste sites. And that study has been replicated over 200 times in a variety of different ways, so that we know that racism is alive and well, environmental racism is alive and well, as we look at our communities that are still struggling with this overabundance of pollution. So people of color came together in 1991 at the People of Color Summit in Washington, D.C., and they too developed a set of principles, just like the Unitarian Church has. And three of them are Mother Earth is sacred, self-determination for all people, which Tom and I know is a social work principle that we carry with us, and workers and residents have the right to a clean and safe environment. And I think that's critically important because lots of times when those of us who are fighting for environmental protection, we come up against this false idea that if we have environmental protection, then we can't have a healthy economy. And we know that that's not true. We know it's false. We know that the number of workers that are now involved in the green economy is huge. It's increasing every year. And we know that we can have a strong economy and a clean environment, and we have to hold that and push that forward and not allow that false dichotomy to occur. We, in 1994, President Clinton signed the Executive Order on Environmental Justice, which said, every governmental agency, federal governmental agency, will take every effort it can to not cause environmental racism. So every effort is supposed to be evaluated. I can't say that I think that this current administration is taking that very seriously. And in fact, we think they're moving in the opposite direction. But the executive order stands, amazingly. It has not been rescinded as yet, and there is an Office of Environmental Justice within the US EPA, and that still stands, although its budget was cut in half last year. So we're concerned about that, but we are fighting for environmental justice on the local and state level. We find that we're making a lot of progress. So Badia Logan has made progress. In 2016, the port had planned to expand their work, their throughput, the goods movement that was coming in trucks and ships by 800%. The community rallied and cut that in half. 400% is still a lot. But again, it's that opportunity that we have to say, okay, we can reduce this. It doesn't have to be as much as you had hoped for. But with the 400%, we were able to negotiate that much of the many of the trucks, the ships, and the cargo handling equipment would be electrified. So they're not going to be running. By 2025, it should all be electric. We should have an opportunity for no diesel particulate pollution. Let me just say that's the pollution. That's the tiny, tiny, tiny pollution that gets logged in your lungs and that causes asthma and that can cause lung cancer. So that's the pollution we're the most concerned about. We have just introduced to the city, and hope this will be coming soon, the city of San Diego, an ordinance that would not allow trucks to be on residential streets, which they are all the time in Barrio Logan. And we are very hopeful that the Barrio Logan community plan, which is the oldest one in the city and which was shut down after approval by the San Diego City Council, the shipyards spent $1.7 million to defeat it at the ballot box in 2014. So that we'll be back. That plan will go forward, and the community will have a plan just like every other community does. In San Diego, that will correct that incompatible and discriminatory land use. So how do we do this? I said earlier, it's our social change for justice model, organizing, advocacy, leadership development. And the leadership development piece, I think, is one of the most important ones. As I said, B, as a trusted messenger, was able to help to start the CELTA program, and it continues with women from the community who train other women from the community about environmental health, about environmental justice. And we start in the home. What's under your sink? What kind of toxic contaminants do you have under your sink that you're cleaning your counters with and your floors with? And how can we change that out? And if you can do that, then we can demand that the industry down the street change its practices as well. So it really starts in the home with the family and getting that cleaned up. So as I close, I want to say, you know, of course we're all about action. I know you all are about action. It's quite obvious. And Frederick Douglass said, "I prayed for 20 years but received no answer until I prayed with my legs." So we all know that that's what we need to do, is we need to get up, and in our personal lives, you know the drill. Consume less, be conscious of others. On the community level, it's be involved. Do what you're doing today. Think about the impact that your actions are having on your neighborhood, on your city, and the actions of others, and get involved with your community, with local government. And then there's the political side, and it's an election year, right? So small p, big P. So everything that you can do to speak up to the people you know. I know that politics is one of those things that you're not supposed to talk about. I don't know. I guess I didn't get that message when I was growing up. But I think we've got to break that now. Speak out when something isn't right, when you're witnessing discriminations, because your actions won't guarantee equity. You're all acting in an equitable way, but it takes political action. We know that in order for it to change for all of us. And some of it's tough, it's challenging, it's scary. We just had our United to Vote CELTA training on Thursday night, and we had our leaders role play to say, what's the scariest thing about knocking on that door? What are you most afraid of? And people said that they won't listen to me, that it's just me, you know, it's just little old me that lives down the street. That's the most powerful thing that residents have, is it's just them, because they're just like the people whose doors they're knocking on. And I'll say, and this is my most political thing I'll say, I guess, our strong recommendation from Environmental Health Coalition is that you vote no on Prop 70 on June 5th. Prop 70 will redirect greenhouse gas funds away from affordable housing and parks and good things for our community to fight climate change, and will allow it to go into a variety of other areas that we don't like. So I would ask you to vote no on Prop 70. And in closing, I'll just say that, and I think this goes with the song as well, that Frederick Douglass said, it's not light that we need, but fire. It's not the gentle shower, but thunder. We need the storm, the whirlwind, and the earthquake. Thank you all.